You're listening to Heating Up the UK,
a Miami Heat UK-based podcast,
bringing you the best Heat media guests every single week.
Here's your host, Dan Healy.
Brought to you by at the Miami Heat UK social media network.
Enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to episode 88 of Heating Up the UK, a Miami Heat UK-based podcast. I'm your host, Dan Healy, and we are here today for a very special episode. We are at Top Golf UK in Chigwell, Essex. Fantastic to be here, and you may be asking, why are we here? Why is a Miami Heat basketball podcast being recorded at a golfing centre? Well, cast your mind back to the Eastern Conference Finals. Miami Heat are 3-0 up against the Boston Celtics, and Al Horford led the team to say, forget the team, let's go to Top Golf. They went to Top Golf. They then went to run off three straight W's against the Heat to tie the series at 3-3. Couldn't quite get it over the line, but quite incredible story. Great publicity for Top Golf. So, Top Golf UK came over to us and said, if it's good enough for Boston, it's good enough for Miami Heat. How'd you fancy coming down? Bring your team with you, and you can come record a special episode at our venue. And of course, we took that opportunity with both hands. So it's great to be here. And it's great to be with my team. Let's introduce the cast. First of all, Oliver Heaney, how are you, sir?
I'm very good, thank you. Very excited to be here. It's a lovely day, lovely view we've got. But yeah, I'm buzzing to be here.
Great stuff. Great to have you down. It is a beautiful day. We'll come to that in a second. Glenn Smith, how are you, sir?
Hello. No audio problems today because we're all together and there can't physically be. So we're all good. Lovely to be here and enjoying the sunshine.
Yeah, if you're a regular listener to the podcast, you'll know that we always introduce Glenn and then you just get a lot of gesturing and no sound. And we've trusted Glenn today with the sound, so this should be quite interesting, but great to have you along. The OG, Sam Aquara, how are you, my man?
I'm lovely, man. It's a lovely day, sunny Friday, TGIF, we're in Top Golf, and let's get talking basketball.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, without further ado, Bilal Monar, great to have you along. Looking sharp, man, how are you?
I'm ready for the funeral for Jokic tonight.
Ready for Jokic's funeral, I love it, absolutely great. Yeah, so brilliant to meet you guys, and first of all, welcome to my manor. This is Essex. This is where I'm from. I mean, it's very Miami-esque, isn't it? I mean, let's be honest. They've got, you know, we've got beautiful weather here. They've got South Beach. They've got Miami Beach. We've got South End. We've got Clacton on Sea. You know, it's the same. Let's say it's the same. But we're here as we stand currently in the NBA Finals, guys. 2-1 down to the Denver Nuggets. But let's get right into it. Before we do, Ollie, I'll start with you, as always, man. We were 3 and a bit minutes away from elimination in the play-in to grab that 8th seed. I polled out to our followers at that point, do you want to win this game to get this 8th seed? 57% of those followers polled no. They don't even want to get the humiliation of being absolutely steamed out of the playoffs by the Milwaukee Bucks. Heat in 5 that series. Heat in 6 against the Knicks. Heat in 7 against the Boston Celtics. Here we are in the NBA Finals. Can you believe this run we've got on?
Yeah, to be honest, I remember when you asked that question originally. Obviously, loads of people were saying, no, we don't want to win because we want to get the 14th pick. And I remember saying to you in the group chat, I'm going to ride with Jimmy Butler regardless. And now we're in the finals. So, no, I'm happy. Obviously, being an 8 seed, we're going to be the underdog no matter what. But I think that the players that we've had this season and the runs that we've been on this season, it's all shaped up to playing playoff basketball. You know, we've had so many games that have been really close, so many last-minute wins or last-minute defeats, which you learn a lot from. And a lot of these players who are starting, like, you know, Gabe Vincent, Caleb Martin, who are having their first real proper seasons in the NBA, they're learning these things along the way. And we've just got a team full of dogs. We've said it however many times. So, yeah, we were the underdogs and we've been the underdogs throughout the whole playoffs. And we probably are still now, but I'm never gonna bet against our guys.
Well, this is it. When I think I said a similar thing. If I've got Jimmy Butler with Heat across his jersey, we'll ride with that guy. And he's done it incredibly, as has a lot of other players as well, which we will come on to. Glenn, I mean, I know this is a big if because we're still three wins away against, let's have it right, an extremely good team in Denver Nuggets. But if we did go on to win this, obviously that creates history. We'll be the only 8th seed to ever win. So in that way, does it almost speak for itself that will be the greatest thing to ever happen in NBA history?
That's uh That's a stretch. In finals history, maybe. We'll also be the only team to ever come through the play-ins, which is obviously quite a fresh thing. And that, well, might, like the Arsenal Invincibles in football, that might well never happen again. That might be the only time, if we can pull off the magic and, you know, turn Jokic into only a scorer, which, as we all know, is a key point at the moment. Yeah, no, it would be huge. It would be fantastic. And that would put us in on championship number four. UD's final game would be lifting up the NBA trophy and having a great time. It would put us amongst the best. We can count titles all you want of the Lakers and the Celtics having way more than any other team in the league. But stuff like this, where you are the underdog, when no one backs you, I think you could have placed a $5 bet that would have made you a quarter of a millionaire if you'd backed the Heat all the way through. So yeah, it's I will go back now. I'll never make that mistake again. It's £5 on the Heat at the start of every season, no matter how much. That's really. But yeah, no, it would be huge. The biggest thing in NBA history, maybe not. The biggest thing in finals history, yeah, I'll call it. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, definitely. And quick shout out to UD. Happy birthday to UD too, right? You're right. I mean, I'll take the Heat's four. If we get this through, the Heat's four banners, as opposed to the Celtics 68 or whatever, bloody lot, where most of them are all before TV was even invented. So we've just got to take their word for it that they won, because there's no proof. So I totally vibe with that one. Sam, currently 2-1 down in the series. But Caleb Martin was absolutely instrumental in the Celtics series. One of the most incredible rises that we've seen, waived by the Hornets on a two-way contract we originally signed it on, is now national attention on one of the best contracts in the league. But since this series has started, he's gone from 19.3 points a game on 63% shooting against the Celtics to now 5.3%. 5.3 points per game on 32% shooting. I know he was unwell last game. We had this series under the weather. I think he was playing with a migraine. Obviously, that does affect your game regardless. But is there something is it just that this run couldn't be prolonged? We couldn't expect that sort of efficiency off of him going into another series? Or is it that it's just a different matchup than the Denver are obviously accounting for it?
Yeah, I think I'm thinking towards the matchup. So in my mind, the Celtics matchup was fantastic for him. But Denver's a completely different ball game, and we don't really know what to expect from a game-to-game basis. I mean, he's both thinking out incredible defensive sets on offense. And players are coming up with fantastic sets, and we just have to look at it from a game-by-game basis. I think the first three games have not really been in his favor. Fingers crossed, we see what Game 4 does. Might have some Caleb moments.
Yeah, I think, as I said, in terms of a burst on both ends, what he can do, he is an X factor in this series, I think. And if he can get going, I'm not really counting too much into the last stand because he wasn't well. But he can do stuff that nobody else on this team can do on both ends. So I'm hoping and I'm expecting a big night for him tonight. But yeah, we'll come on to him maybe a bit more later on. Bilal, again, another two guys here that have been, I mean, sensational doesn't even begin to describe it. Gabe Vincent, Max Strus, again, they're now national attention guys. The undrafted story has irked a lot of people. TNT you can have a possession without mentioning it last game. It was outrageous. But these guys are, they're affecting games. They're not just plug and play. They're having an influence on wins in conference finals, and that's huge. Again, a little bit up and down this series, but suddenly place people that were out of the rotation, especially in Gabe Vincent's turn, and now, as I said, having an influence, and we need them. Let's have it right. We need these guys to perform. Is there a way, because they're both expiring, $1.8 million a year, both of them are earning this year. The command will be between 12 and 15 million, we expect, going into next season. Is there any way that we can hold on to one, two, both of them? Can we get, if there's a preference, we can only get on one? Is there one that you're taking over the other? How do we navigate this situation?
That's a very tough question. Both of them have been outstanding in the playoffs. They had a rocky regular season. I don't think we will keep both, if I'm honest. It's just too much money on the books. But if I had to pick personally, I'd definitely take Gabe Vincent. I think he's going to get paid more. He's valued in the league as a backup or even a starter. You can see him playing anywhere as a starter or most places as a starter. So I definitely take Gabe Vincent, and he's taking strides. When the team needs him, he's always there. He's clutch. He's a great defender. He's an incredible player. I doubted him when he first came to the Heat, But he's such an instrumental player now to our team and to our success. Both stars on the finals team. But I imagine that Gabe Vincent gets paid more and we keep leaning towards him because Max Strus, there's still the element of his inconsistency and Duncan's contract as well. And we can't have two of the same kind of players. So I definitely lean towards Gabe.
See, this is the thing. A lot of people are, there's an angle where they say, look, you can't re-sign them to the sort of Duncan money. We criticised doing that before. He is so good at finding the next guy. So just let them go and get the next guy. But it would kill me to let them both just go, just walk. I mean, there's probably only going to be room for one of them. Let me just quickly follow up with the questions here. Let's say you sign and traded, or you signed them to do a sign and trade, both of them. Gabe, Max, throwing Kyle Lowry, maybe a pick, Dame Lillard, you doing it?
With my eyes closed, any day of the week, Dame Lillard as a Heat is a dream. It's a dream.
I don't want to get too caught up in transactional talk because you don't do that when your team is in the finals. But it's just been funny how you've been hearing some rumours about Dame and he's starting to talk his way into a trade, I think, now. So I do think the guy will eventually be on the move. And we have heard the name Miami been mentioned, so let's see where that goes. Ollie, back to you. Jimmy, about that sensational, generational series against the Bucks. I mean, the man was just fearless, averaging 36 points, I think it was, per game, 35 points per game. But the whole thing of taking on the one seed, putting the team on your back like I've never seen before, having the guts to go to one of the best two-way players in the league in Drew Holiday and saying, I own you whilst you're down in that game.
Yep.
Then going on to secure the dub, the putback W, the buzzer beater to send it into overtime, to then cupping his ear to the crowd knowing you still got to go and win the game, and then did. It's incredible. Now we've seen an injury, mm-hmm. and Jimmy has been passive on more than one of occasion. It's clearly bothering him. He's still producing. He's still going to be influential. But this isn't the Jimmy Butler we saw in that Bucks series. It's a shadow of it. It's about 10 points a game less than what we see. We've been riding it through. He's still been good on his time. But can the Heat win this series with Jimmy just managing the injury, which is clearly how he's playing. He's playing the injury, playing the games like he's managing the injury.
Mm-hmm.
So we're 2-1 down. We need 3 out of the next 4 regardless. Can we win without Jimmy's boost?
I don't know, to be honest. I think with the Knicks series and with the Boston series, we had enough to get through them. And they're both great teams, but you saw Bam take over against the Knicks. You saw Caleb take over against the Celtics. We had enough to get through. But I think Denver are too deep. They're too good of a team for us to not have Jimmy Butler playing at that level to be able to win. And it's unfortunate. Injuries are a part of sport. Like, everyone's going to have an injury at some point, and every team has got to deal with that. But it hurts, obviously, when it's your best player and your relying player that, you know, you trust so much to get you offense, get you defense as well. But like you said, he's obviously not right. He's playing probably 60%. Like, even his lifts when he's contesting jump shots, it's just not there. He's not getting off the floor. So, you know, Josh Hart is going to pay for his crimes, I think. I'm not happy about that, but the Miami Heat don't make excuses. So if we don't have enough and we don't win, then so be it. But I think a lot of it will rest on how Jimmy can manage that ankle and manage his health. Because if he's anywhere near 100%, then I think we've got a much better chance than we do right now.
Well, this is the thing. See, I mean, he's been, I won't say bowed out, because he's still been good. But the role players have been exceptional. So to be able to help him out. And we've seen in this final series where, as I said, on his day, he's as good as any defender in the league. And yet, he's almost being breezed past a little bit. He can't stay in front of his man. It is clearly bothering him. We won't hear the excuses, as you say. He'll still go into every press conference, whether we win or lose, saying, we're going to win this. Mm. So he's got that aura and he's got that. But it's going to be tough because we've seen as well, when it's even like, there was that thing that when he dunked it, he just about made the rim when he tried to dunk a couple of games ago. So I think it's unfortunate. His injuries are a part of sport. He'll give it his all regardless, but I think it's what we saw. I've not seen that production or that energy. Who does that? Who screams in players' faces, saying that they
own?
It's just incredible. And then back it up. As Jordan said, it's always good talking shit when you're up. But then you do it when you're down. And then to deliver on it, it's just such a shame that we haven't seen him be able to replicate it because of the injury. But as I said, he's been getting away with it for now because the role player's been great. So we'll see what Jimmy can do. We might have a bit more up his sleeve, yeah. Glenn, you mentioned already a little bit about the Jokic as a scorer thing right at the beginning there. That got spoke a little bit. I think maybe because it was like, shit, they're onto me. You know, it was like a game plan that you could see what he was trying to do. You know, Jokic, when he's got 40 points plus, is a losing record. I think he's 0-4, if I remember rightly, when he scores 40 plus.
Yeah.
The man is ridiculous. That's a bit right. Jokic, by far and away, in a league of his own in this league at the moment, is, for a man his size, everything looks like a fluke, but it's not. To be able to post up 32, 21 and 10, almost look like he's not trying. It's sensational. But let's just go back to that point a minute, because if you can stop him facilitating, does that mean you're asking him to shoot, which he's still very good at, let's get it wrong, but if you can force him into that side and live with the consequences, do they have a better chance of getting through this series?
I think Spo was harsh, probably, on the reporter. I mean, we all know it is tough to contain anybody on their day, but Jokic just seems to have his day all the time, as you say. Everything seems to be trickling on off of 3 or 4 bounces on the rim before it even gets anywhere near the basket. But you're right, when a guy's doing 30, 20, 10, 3, 2, 1s in a finals game, it's insane. And you've got to take those 20 assists are worth at least 40 points. So if you can knock down the assists, the man's never going to score. Well, I'm going to ruin my words here. He's never going to score 70. It's not going to happen. He would pray and hope that it wouldn't happen. So you're right. As soon as you start knocking down the other things he produces and force him to just be a shooter, yes, whilst it's impossible and you're never going to get, you know, no rebounds, no assists for a man of that talent, it is key to try and limit his playmaking abilities to, I don't know, a bad day, if there is such a thing for Nikola Jokic. So, yeah, Spo is a bit harsh on that reporter, but the point is valid. The point stands. Don't allow him to become this all-singing, all-dancing, facilitator, rebound, scorer, or we will... It's written in the stars that we would lose the series. So,
just to add to that, he is literally the heart of that team. So, like, when he's doing all that rebounding, playmaking, getting everyone else involved, you see, like, the level other players play at just rapidly increasing. So if we could just, like, stop his playmaking, we get to see Jamal Murray like we did in Game 2. We get to see, what's his name, Aaron Gordon, or what's his face, being ineffective. And like, there's a massive drop off in energy, just basically, when you sort of stop what he brings to the table. So I think it will be key to sort of limit that, regardless of how Spo wants to put it. It is a valid point.
It reminds me a little bit of how the Bucks are constructed, because you're never going to stop the main man, you're never going to stop Jokic, you're never going to stop Giannis, but you can limit, and the Heat are well organized and well coached enough to be able to put schemes together to try and do that. But you know, You want to go into a game, or if you're going to lose a game, you want to say that it was Aaron Gordon that done you. Or, I mean, I'm not going to disrespect Jamal Murray, because he's been sensational as well. But you want it to be a Drew Holiday or a Chris Middleton or an Aaron Gordon or etc. So what you don't want it to be is a Christian Brook Bruno. I mean, don't get me started on that. That's just incredible. But yeah, let's not go down that road. Sam, we've got to win 3 of the next 4. We can do this. We're 2-1 down. That's the way to do it. We're at home tonight. If we do pull this out, and you look at Bam's series so far, it reminds me of what we saw when we first started the season. The mid is back. Yeah. His clutch is getting into the paint. We saw that. I mean, he dominated the paint for the regular season. It was one of the, in fact, he might have even been the biggest paint scorer in the association. And it fell away a little bit. His defensive game, as we know, is unrivaled. People don't give that enough respect because they're box score watchers. So, you know, you're always going to get that from him, but you do need him to have that offensive punch. And we've seen it come back. If he continues this and he starts producing wins in Jimmy's absence, where he's maybe not been able to dictate the win and run it at his plate, and Bam becomes that man, that guy. If we win, finals MVP?
I mean, not to take Jimmy literally, but he did say something along the lines of, if we do win this series, it's because of Bam. And we've seen him play games 1, game 2, game 3. I was talking to Bilal earlier and talking about how he missed a couple of shots that were just like plain sight that he could have gotten. And he still put up good numbers. So if everything gets to click, we could be looking at a band that Twitter has been calling for the past 3, 4, 5 years now. And rightfully so. I would give him that finals MVP, but don't want to get ahead of myself. We still got, 4 games to play, but
yeah, it's a big if, let's get me wrong. And yeah, the bunnies across that we're missing across the series so far, oh my God, it's annoying me so much. But yeah, if it does happen, and I know we're talking massive ifs at the moment, but if Bam's at finals MVP, does everybody then start, does the league then change the narrative on him? Because there's not many players that can do what he does at both ends. We've always been big fans of him because we appreciate what he does. We watch him every night. But the league won't, because they'll just go, well, he put up 21 points and 6 rebounds and 5 assists, and that's all they'll go by. They'll look at Anthony Towns doing more than that. They'll look at, you know, Embiid and Jokic obliterating that. But would it change the narrative if he can come back with a trophy and a finals MVP? Will people start to then respect him for exactly what he is, which is an elite player?
It's very interesting, because I believe that the league itself, so like comprising of the players and other coaches, actually respect Bam. But where the lack of respect comes, in my opinion, is the media.
Yeah.
And when you look at the local guy, so you're Locked On, Five Reasons, Heat Beat and all that, they're fantastic when it comes to talking about Bam Adebayo. But when you look at the national guys, excluding the likes of, like, what's his name, Zach Lowe and some other big names, you don't really get people talking about the essence of his game.
Yeah.
Or they look at it from, like, one dimension. And when they see him playing like he's played in the playoffs in some games, they get surprised, like, oh, where's this Bam been, or this and that. And it's unfortunate. But I don't think it's the league that's not appreciating him. I think it's a media thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Let's go on to Tyler Herro, Bilal. Obviously, devastating for him to get that injury in game one of the first series. Obviously, he's a 20-point-a-game scorer. We know what he can do. But just more to the point of, he had that incredible bubble series postseason in his rookie campaign. Then we got swept the Knicks series. Then in the first round. Then last year, he didn't really perform. He was underwhelming. It was okay, but no one, you know, in that run. But people were looking for that push on. It didn't really happen. And you felt like this was a year when he became a starter, that he pushed on. And he was, for some point, in all-star sort of conversation for a while. But you felt like he was gearing up to this moment. So for that to happen in game one, I'm devastated for him. But now he's almost back. He's clear for contact. He can play. He's saying that the pain is manageable. So the question is, one, do you think he will come back at any point in this series? I don't think he's going to play tonight, but we'll see. And two, he might. And two, he's mentioned it as well. And do you agree with him that he doesn't want to disrupt the flow of what's been a very successful campaign postseason so far? What's your take on the Tyler Herro situation?
It's a very interesting situation. I don't think we've had something like this previously. Even in other teams, someone who's a 20-point-per-game scorer, and literally we've played so good without him, which was unimaginable, if we're honest. So my take on him, he would get a lot of good looks in this series. The looks are there. It's falling to other people that if it fell for him, he'd have so much joy under the drop coverage. Bringing him back, personally, I would. Because of the coverage, like if it was a Boston matchup, I wouldn't. But because it's the Nuggets and the way they defend so deep, they allow jump shots, I would bring Tyler Herro back. But it does mean someone's minutes are getting cut and everyone's pulled their part. But I would bring him back, and I think Spo would want to bring him back. But you can't have a 20-point-per-game scorer available and not using him when we need offense right now. We need whatever help we can get. We're so close to the championship. We've got a borderline all-star. We've got to use him somehow. And what best coach to do it? What better coach to do it than Spo?
Right. So let's say we win tonight. It's too old. Because I think if we lose tonight, I think they'll just say there's nothing to lose. We've got to win 3 straight. Let's throw him in.
Yeah.
Regardless, even if he's not fully fit, I think they'll just do it. But let's say we win tonight. You'll manage him off the bench. You'll give him 10 minutes or something in sporadic appearances throughout the rest of the season.
If we win tonight, what I'd do personally is I'd make him available for game 5. Doesn't mean he will play. See how the game goes and have a plan where he might be needed. That's if we win tonight. If we don't win tonight, then all guns blazing. Tyler's shooting 20 shots. We're back.
Interesting. We'll see how he plays out. Right, before I get your predictions, guys, we've had ups and downs this year. Last game wasn't great. We was poor offensively. Just off the top of your head, doesn't have to be anything deep. I'll go around quickly. One thing that needs to improve to win tonight. Let's focus on tonight. Worry about the rest of the series later. One thing that has to improve to win tonight.
consistency on Jokic has to be the same in everyone's mind what you're doing. Are you double teaming? Are you not? Are you letting him take a certain shot or are you not? Consistency of everyone's mind as they go in, he comes to the paint, everyone knows exactly what's happening at the same time.
Awesome. Ollie?
Yeah, I think similar to that, but I would say intensity as well. I think it's a lot of mental stuff, so intensity, speed, heart, a bit more fight, and I think we'll be right.
Yeah, culture stuff, that's it. I mean, you can get played, you can get dominated, you know, you'll take a game where you've just not performed, but the energy stuff is basic. You know, you've got to match that. If you're not matching that, you're not going to stand a chance. This is the finals sandwich thing.
I'll keep it simple. I'd just say we need to rebound better. I think the last game was pretty appalling, and there have been some games where our rebounding hasn't been the best. I mean, Bam's doing the best he can, but we need the rest to step up. And like, the easiest thing we can do is stop the second chance points. I mean, they're not always going to hit every single shot. And we need to just take advantage of that, grab rebounds where we can, offensive and defensive, and just keep the game moving. We can't just keep giving them multiple chances, because if we keep doing that, they're going to take advantage of it and they're going to keep scoring.
Yeah, it's been an infuriating thing all postseason, really. And Bam, as you said, I think he got 17 rebounds last game. I think he got 21 or something the game before that. But the rest of the Heat starters combined for about 8, and that's just not going to get it done. So second chance points, especially rebounding, yeah, good shout that one. Bilal?
I'd go something different. I'd say contain Jamal Murray a bit better. We've seen him do it now. We've seen him do it. Game 2, he was quiet for his standards. I say if we contain him, we've got a very good chance.
Good stuff. Like it. Right, guys. We're going to win tonight. There's no point asking that one.
Yeah.
But I want to know by how many, and then I want your serious predictions to wrap up. Glenn, what are you saying?
7-point win and a big win on the roulette to match. And serious predictions, I reckon we're going all the way to 7. And why not give it to redemption man Duncan Robinson to win on a corner 3-point Ray Allen style. So,
yeah,
why not?
Okay, heating 7 tonight. Heating 7 for the series, Ollie?
Yeah, I'm going to say probably similar tonight, maybe between 5 and 10, but we're going to be down at the start of the fourth. That's our way of winning. We're going to be down big in the start of the fourth, but we're going to come through. I've got to go with Glenn. It's going to be heating 7. Jimmy is going to find something, whatever it is, to pull himself out of this pain. Tyler's going to come back and we're going to slug it out, but get it done in 7.
It just feels like it's got one more Jimmy moment, hasn't it?
He said the same thing to Bilal earlier. He's got one Jimmy moment left in it.
That's it. It's all we need. You're right.
I think we're going to see something similar to Game 7 of Boston tonight. I think it's going to be a big win.
Yeah.
I think the guys are going to come out intense, aggressive, and they're just going to slug it out as they should. And my series prediction, Game 7, and it's going to be won by a Jimmy 3, top of the key.
Oh, love it. Oh, love it. Great stuff, Bilal.
Yeah, I'd agree with Sam. I'll say big win tonight. The energy is going to be there. The intensity is going to be there. The crowd's going to be involved. We're going to go 20 threes by the teams today. Everyone's going to be shooting. Jimmy's going to be diamond. And I'm saying heat in 6.
Love it. Love it. 3 in a row. Yeah. Just like Top Golf wanted us to do. Great stuff. So, okay. I agree. I think tonight's going to be a big win. I think Denver have come here wanting 2, but I think they would have snatched their hand off wanting 1. They've got it done. The response, desperation basketball is a thing. And Miami will come out with their backs against the wall, like they're so good at doing, and they'll deliver a massive win tonight. I'm going by heat by 15 tonight. It's going to be huge. And yeah, heat in 7. I'm going to get my game. I think it will go to form. But then game 7 in their arena will be lifting Larry O'Brien. So what way to wrap up. Guys, for those who are watching tonight or listening right now, if you're in London or close to it, by the time this is published, you might not have too much time. We are hoping we are organising a watch party at the Empire Casino in Leicester Square. What an iconic venue to be hosting this watch party. King Sports Bar, just above the casino. Come and join us. We've got an area sorted. If you're in the area, we'll be there from 8:30 all the way through until 4 a.m. So loads of content coming out today. Get there whenever you can. The area's there from 8:30. As I said, we'll pack it out with Heat fans and make some noise. So massive thank you to Top Golf UK for allowing us here on this beautiful day in sunny Essex. We're going to go and hit some golf balls now. And embarrass ourselves. But thank you for tuning in. And we'll hopefully talk again when the Miami Heat are lifting their fourth banner. Take it easy, guys.
You've been listening to Heating Up the UK.
Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts
to ensure you never miss a show.
Also, go give us a follow on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by finding our page at the Miami Heat UK.
And subscribe to our YouTube channel, Miami Heat UK TV, for our latest shows and fun content.
That's your Miami Heat from across the pond. Covered. Thanks for listening.